محمد وآل محمد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. We continue with Surah Al-Mulk, verse number 13. وَأَسِرُّ قَوْلَكُمْ أَوِجْهَرُوا بِهِ إِنَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ. Speak secretly or do so loudly. Indeed, he knows well what is in the breasts. The previous verses talked about people who reject and deny the signs of God, and of course the consequences which follows. And also it mentioned about those who have that awe and respect for God in their hearts. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَيْبِ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَأَجْرٌ كَبِيرٌ. For those who have the khashya of the Lord in their heart, for them there is forgiveness and a big reward. Ajrun kabir. Kabir, of course, when Allah uses kabir, it means it's really, really great. It means whatever you are given here is just a trifle compared to what you are going to be given there as a reward for your heart, for what is in, what was in your heart in this world. Now, the question may come for the non-initiated. Of course, people who are faithful in God, they have secrets which about God in their hearts which other people may not know. But for the simple-minded, it may somehow be an issue. You know how these billions of people who are acting each at will on this earth, does God know everything, every specific, every particular, every intention in their heart that he's going to make them accountable for it? How is it possible? And especially this question, of course, may not be a question for us because we believe in the omniscient of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the Arabs of that time who were idol worshippers, and they really thought that these idols, their idols ignore many things and they don't know many aspects of their intentions and what goes in their mind. And also they thought that Allah is even farther away from their idols. God, who is the creator of everything and has actually delegated the running of the affair, the management of the affair to these idols, he himself is farther away to know about these small things in the heart of people. Now, this verse is actually an answer to this question. How God is going to make the account of all these acts, words, intentions, what goes in the heart? Now, the verse is explaining that. وَأَسِرُّوا قَوْلَكُمْ أَوَجْهَرُوا بِهِ. Now, you want to secretly talk, or you want to talk loudly, jahr is to talk loudly, it doesn't make any difference for God, because these things are detected by your senses, and it makes a difference if a sound is high or low, if something is far or close. But because Allah doesn't have any sensual thing, his grasp and understanding of things doesn't come through sensual grasp. It is quite equal for him. So it is very equal because he knows what is in the breast. And of course, it means in the heart. The following verse justifies it and gives a sort of reasoning for it. So there is no difference. And why Qawl is mentioned here? Some exegetes have said, why not acts, for example? Your acts, whether you do it hiddenly or openly, whether you conceal it or you open it up to others, Allah knows it. Because acts are very difficult to conceal. I mean, when you want to conceal an act, you have to make an effort. But words are very easy to conceal. Words are very easy to whisper. So that it may be more difficult for the acts to be conceived like the words. Therefore, the goal is mentioned here. Now, the reasoning which comes is, Allah ya'lamu man khalaq. Doesn't the one who created know? Now, one meaning of this verse is that Allah has created you, and therefore He knows whatever goes into your heart. One may say that, yes, of course, Allah has created me, but it doesn't necessarily follow that He knows whatever goes in my heart. As I said, these things are quite obvious for us, but some people may have argued, and actually, we have some philosophers who had this idea that God doesn't know the details and particulars of things because He is so sublime. Now, here, Allah ya'lamu man khalaq doesn't mean that doesn't the one who has created you know what goes in your heart and mind. It means even the intention you make, the act you do, the word you utter, are all creations of God. He is the one who creates them through your will. You see, what confuses us is that if we say that everything is created by God, everything is in His hand, then where is the free will? Now, think about it in this way. He creates them through our will. After we will and we want to do something, of course, we have no means, we have no power, we have nothing in this world. Ya ayyuha an-nas antumul fuqara'u ila Allah wallahu huwal ghaniyyul hamid. You are poor. There is no single cell, no single particle that you can move in this world. It's all done by Allah, by the power of Allah. This is the meaning of la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, isn't it? There is no movement, there is no power but by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, when we intend to do something, when we try to do something, the will, Allah would actually ratify it. Allah would approve that it is done by His power, not by our power. Now you may say, what about evil which happens in this world? Does it happen by Allah as well? Yes, of course, everything happens by Allah. However, He has given a word right from the beginning that whatever you want to do, do. If اعملوا ما شئتم, I will allow it. Allow it means I will empower you to do it. If you want to kill someone, it's by my power that you do it. However, I don't like it, but because your will has been somehow, your will has been decided in this way, okay, I ratify that. Let it go. Of course, the justice will be established, restored later on. So, the one who does all these things, you intend, it is God who actually makes the intention possible. You act, it is God through whose power that the act is being performed. Doesn't He know? Of course He knows. So, Allah ya'lamu man khalaq doesn't mean the one who created you. No. The one who creates everything you will, everything you intend, everything you do. How is it possible that He doesn't know? وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. Now, for latif, there are, latif means subtle. Latif means very delicate, of course. Now, for latif, three meanings are given by exegetes. Of course, not all three meanings are given by one exegete. Different exegetes have given different meanings for it. One meaning of latif is the creator of subtle things. Have you imagined how a cell is created? Or how a gnat, a small fly, a lice is created? For us, of course, these things are very trivial. These things are somehow abhorrent, there's nothing in them. But as Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحِي أَن يَضْرِبَ مَا بَعُوذَةً وَمَا فَوْقَهَا أَن يَضْرِبَ مَثَلًا مَا بَعُوذَةً وَمَا فَوْقَهَا. God is not ashamed to give the example of a gnat, of a lice, of a fly for his power. Because if you look at the creation of that very small thing, it may be for us, it is even more difficult to create a human being because it's very small. Of course, for Allah, small and big has no meaning. Size has no meaning for Allah. I mean, He could have created us like mountains. He could have created us like ants. Why has He created us this size? We don't know. You know, it's just one of the secrets of Allah. How He measures the size, we don't know. But are we going to be the same size after we are resurrected in the Day of Judgment? We know that we are not. Not that we don't know. There are some indications that we are going to be much bigger than what we are now. Anyhow, the size is created by God. So small or big is similar for Him. However, the one who can create such small things is Latif. Complicated, delicate, small things. This is one meaning of Latif. Huwa al-Latif al-Khabir. One meaning of Latif is this. The other meaning of Latif is that He has the knowledge of complicated things. He has the knowledge of subtle things. However, this meaning, Fakhruddin Razi mentions this meaning and then says this meaning is not good because the following attribute is khabir, he is knowledgeable. So we cannot say he's knowledgeable of the small things and he's knowledgeable. So this meaning of Latif, although this is one of the meanings of Latif, is not applicable here. The other meaning of Latif is that he can penetrate into every subtle thing. And this is the best sort of suitable meaning here because أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقَ وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ. He penetrates into every subtle thing. You know, the subtleties of our soul, our intentions, our heart are such that it is very difficult to be grasped. But of course for Allah, because He can penetrate everything. So doesn't the one who creates your acts, your words, your intentions, your will, He is the one who creates all these things. But doesn't He know what is going on? Of course He knows. Now, after mentioning all these, other ayat or signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are brought to our attention. Initially, of course, the signs were الَّذِي خَلَقَ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ تَبَاقًا, the heavens and the earth, the seven firmaments He has created. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاتِ, the one who created death and life in a very grand scale. God is giving His ayat and signs. Now, here God comes to particulars and starts with the earth. What is the size of earth compared to this universe? It is much smaller, the size of a cell compared to our body. So earth is a particularly small thing compared to the grand ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now look at this earth. هُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ ذَلُولًا فَامْشُوا فِي مَنَاكِبِهَا وَكُلُوا مِنْ رِزْقِهِ وَإِلَيْهِ النُّشُورِ. It is He who made the earth tractable for you. Dhalul is tractable, subservient, tame, something that you can work on. So walk on its flanks and eat of his provision. And towards him is the resurrection. وَإِلَيْهِ النُّشُورِ. So one of the particulars of his science is to see where are we living on. We are living on this earth. This earth is an amazing sort of place, abode of living. It should have been quite untractable, quite untamed. Why? Just imagine, now of course we know, we have this knowledge, and actually some exegetes have mentioned that the Dhalul is indicating the knowledge that we have about earth now. The earth has many movements. One of the movements is the movement around itself. What speed? I don't know, but it's 5,000 kilometers per per hour per minute. I don't know about these speeds. Okay, something which is spinning around itself with such a speed, and then in addition to spinning around itself with such a speed, is going around the sun with exponential speed again. And then in the solar system in itself is moving with the sun, while وَالشَّمْسُ تَجْرِي لِمُسْتَقَرًا لَهَا. Sun is moving to a resting place. That means sun is also moving. Sun is traveling. Where is the axis for the sun? Where is the central sort of point where the sun is going around? We don't know. Or maybe they know. I'm not aware of it. But we know that it's moving, going somewhere. وَالشَّمْسُ تَجْرِي لِمُسْتَقَرًا لَهَا. It's going. So all these movements, whether the galaxy in which the solar system is moving as well, probably is moving somewhere as well. Now, putting all these together, all these movements with these exponential speeds, living on this earth in a way as if you think that it is staying still. This is dalul. This is quite tractable, tamed for you. It is so pleasant and so still and not seems it's not moving that people initially thought that the earth doesn't move, the sun is going around the earth, isn't it? So this is one aspect. This earth, actually, Zalul is a steed or a camel which is tame, is easy to ride upon it. So this earth has been made like that for you. It's easy to ride on it. It's to walk on it, to live on it. Who has made it like this? He has made it like this, easy. And also it's tractable in other senses as well. Zalulan is tractable in the sense that everything is measured on this earth. Suppose if the surface of earth, the crust of the earth was so hard that you couldn't cultivate, you couldn't actually dig it at all, you couldn't toil the land. So what would have happened? Suppose it was so soft, like a marshland, that you couldn't walk on it. It is dalul again. It's quite tractable for you. Suppose the gravity on the earth was so small that you would have floated over it, or so big and so heavy that it would have broken your bones. You see, everything is measured in a way. The distance from the sun and all these things. Now, of course, the atheists say that all these are coincidence. It's all coincidence happened like that. Anyhow, human mind is not set, is not tuned to such coincidences. That everything has happened just haphazardly like this. It's not possible. I'm sure, inshallah, when one day Imam al-Asr, the 12th Imam, come and people all submit their hearts to God, then they would tell the story of some ignorant people in the past who thought that everything has been created by accident. Wow, what an ignorant people they were that they thought like that. And they thought that man is created in vain and we just come and die and go. You see, now because we are in this atheistic environment, we think that, well, it's natural. Some people think like that, some people think otherwise. However, if we think about it deeply, it is strange. It is very, very strange for someone to think like that. Now, making the earth zalul, earth and earth are actually, I think, this is taken from Arabic earth, from Arabic earth. Now, the earth or the earth has been made tractable for you. Who has made it like this? Of course, it's Allah. It doesn't happen just by accident. And then imagining that the earth has been made like this by accident, then everything else followed by accident, the animals were created by accident, the plants were created by accident, the human beings created by accident. Then, of course, the old philosophy which said, وَقَالُوا مَا هِيَ إِلَّا حَيَاتُنَا الدُّنْيَا وَنَمُوتُ وَنَحْيَا وَمَا يُهْلِكُنَا إِلَّا الدَّهْرِ. it's just life of this world. We are created from this earth. We die on this earth. There's nothing like that. It has now been put in a more sort of glamorous wrapping named evolution or something like that. But if you think about the depth of it, it's the same thing. The same idea that everything has happened by coincidence during the history of creation. Now, okay, the earth has been made dhalul for you. Famshu fi manakibaha. Mankab. Mankab is the shoulder. So famshu fi manakibaha, when you want to ride on a camel or a horse, the most difficult thing to do is to go on its shoulder. When you go on the shoulder, means that it's the most tractable, the tamest animal. So it says the earth is like that. You can walk on its shoulders, on its flanks, on its mankeb. And think about this. Who has made this for you? Go walk and seek from his rezq. Now, rezq is not just what we eat. Rezq is whatever we acquire from this earth. And you can imagine what we have acquired up till now from this earth. Whatever you see, of course, we have created, from the aeroplanes to the spaceships to computers to whatever. It has all come from the material of this earth. Kulu min rizqihi, eat from whatever we have put. This is the meaning of making Allah, having made the earth to be blessed. That's وَبَارَكَ فِيهَا وَقَدَّرَ فِيهَا أَقْوَاتَهَا. God blessed the earth. This is the blessed, the blessing that we see, that what we have been able to create from this earth. We are here to actually bring out the blessing of the earth, blessings of the earth, make use of them, as Saleh said to his people, Thamud, he has made you the viceroys on the earth. وَاسْتَأْمَرَكُمْ فِيهَا. He has asked you to create, to build things from this earth, to construct things on this earth. And this is what we are doing. Of course, it's all possible because the earth is tame. The earth is tractable. If it was not tractable, and then we think, oh, it's all our own power, our own science, our own knowledge. Okay, where this knowledge would have come from if the earth was not tame, was not tractable? So, فَمْشُوا فِي مَنَاكِبَهَا وَكُلُوا مِنْ رَزْقِهِ. Yes, he has made all this for you. Eat. And eat, of course, doesn't mean that just what we eat. It means use it. Eating, I think, in every language has this sense of meaning, that you can use things. For example, those who eat up the property of the orphans, mean they take it for themselves, consume it for themselves. This property may be a house or something, but those who eat it up. So eat from its rezq, whatever is, make use of it. And even about paradise, for example, when it talks about eating, it doesn't really mean that you always eat. وَكُلُهَا دَائِمٌ وَذَلُّهَا. Eating is continuous there. This using, consuming whatever is there. In Surah Zukhruf, it says, لَكُمْ فِيهَا فَاكِهَةٌ كَثِيرَةٌ مِنْهَا تَأْكُلُونَ. There are lots of fruits there. These fruits, probably one of the meanings, is possible, means the fruits of your life, the fruits that you sent forward for yourself, the fruits of your good intention, the fruits of development of your soul, is here, you eat from it. لَكُمْ فِيهَا فَاكِهَةٌ كَثِيرَةٌ مِنْهَا تَأْكُلُونَ. Otherwise, it's not a very high status for people in paradise, always eating fruits. It should be taken something to have some other meaning, some higher meaning. وَكُلُوا مِنْ رَزْقِهِ. However, remember, this earth, with whatever blessing is on it, how we have made it for you tractable, how we have filled it with rest for you, this is not the end in itself. There is something which is going to come. إِلَيْهِ النُّشُور. The nushur is towards him. Now, here in translation, I said nushur is resurrection. It is resurrection, but it has deeper meaning than that. Nash is to open up. It's the opposite of laf, to tie,
to put on each other. Now, apparently this world now, this world is tied upon each other. It is somehow cramped, it's compressed, it should open. Just like a worm in its cocoon, this world is like that. This worm is now in the cocoon state. It's like a worm now. Then when the cocoon is broken, it opens like a butterfly. And you can imagine how beautiful this world will become. It's not only us, it's the whole world which becomes like a butterfly. When inshallah, when the trumpet is blown and all the souls die, you know, we have two deaths. One death which is just transferring from this this side of the curtain to the other side of the curtain. We leave the body and we go. That's not death. That's just transferring from one side to the other side. There's a bigger death which will come. And that is when the trumpet is blown, which we don't know what it is. It's just a sound blast which kills all the angels, all the souls, everything, and somehow creates havoc in the universe. That is death. Yes, the souls would go unconscious. There's a blackout in the whole world. Okay? Now, that is, of course, the real death of the soul, which will come. In that state, we don't understand anything, we don't feel anything, we don't sense anything. And that's when after we are raised by Allah, we are asked, how long did you stay? We say, we don't know, maybe one day, maybe half a day, or 1 hour, we don't know. Now, in that blackout, where all are there, the angels, everything, human being, everything is there, the world will come out of its cocoon, would become a butterfly. Now, after we are brought back to life, we are brought back to a world which is so wonderful, so beautiful that we cannot imagine at all. Everything has evolved. It has opened up towards God. It means it has been raised. Okay, the opening of this world is actually lifting it towards God. You remember this, you are now in that cocoon, you are not that worm, the whole universe, the whole world, the whole creation, including the angels. Then, of course, it will open. And this opening will go, will take the whole creation one stage higher, or several stages higher than it is. Then when we come back to our bodies, we come back to that world. And that would be amazing. I mean, we will be dumbfounded when we see the whole creation has been changed in such a thing, which we don't know. And it's by mercy of Allah that He makes us unconscious and then brings us back to consciousness so that we don't see that upheaval which is going to lead into the new order of the creation. And then we come back, and inshallah, if you are friends of God, we just enjoy ourselves. There's nothing else. It's just a sort of enjoyment which we cannot describe. Yes.
So nushur, what does that mean?
Nushur means opening up. Okay, yeah. Nashur. Of course, it has been translated as resurrection, because resurrection is also nash. Now, the other meaning for nushur is, for every individual, when we die, the book of our actions are closed. When we die, actually we go into a state of somehow half awake, half asleep. Then when resurrection comes, these books of action would open. And we are given our full potentials. We are given our full reward. And that is the meaning, another meaning of nushur. I think that the more universal and comprehensive meaning of nushur is better, as it is mentioned about the earth. Look how earth is. And this earth, with all its blessings, with all its beauties, with all its particular bounties that Allah has put on that day would become another earth, another place that you cannot imagine. It's not something that we can describe. The only thing the Quran is saying about it is that يَوْمَ تُبَدَّلُ الْأَرْضُ غَيْرَ الْأَرْضِ وَالسَّمَاوَاتِ, the day when this earth would become another earth, would change into another earth, and the heavens, samawat, the universe, would change into another universe. يَوْمَ تُبَدَّلُ الْأَرْضُ غَيْرَ الْأَرْضِ وَالسَّمَاوَاتِ وَبَرَزُوا لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَارِ. Then everyone is exposed to Allah. When we are resurrected, we see that exposure to Allah. So, وَإِلَيْهِ النُّشُورُ هُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ ذَلُولًا فَامْشُوا فِي مَنَاكِبَهَا وَكُلُوا مِنْ رِزْقِهِ وَإِلَيْهِ النُّشُورُ. Now, imagine, just imagine, this is addressing the kuffar who denied everything. You see, these verses need reflection, needs attention. If we really pay attention to these verses, they are enough. We don't need anything else. This is the word of God, and when He is preaching us, the only reason we are not actually affected by the preaching is because we don't pay enough attention to what He is preaching. أَأَمِنْتُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ. Now, look at this earth. You are living on it, okay? You are quite secure. The earth is quite secure. Now, if God desires to make you to be swallowed by the earth, what would you do? Just think. Of course, we say, well, it never has happened. It sometimes happens. There are sometimes earthquakes. Some people are struck by it. But we never think that, well, we take it for granted. Now, here, the very important thing, this verse and the following verse, is that don't take these things for granted. It is there. It has been there for millions of years. We don't know how long human being has lived on this earth. It has been there for millions of years because Allah has willed that it should be so. However, don't take it for granted. Allah may will otherwise. So just think about your situation. أَأَمِنْتُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ أَنْ يَخْسِفَ بِكُمُ الْأَرْضَ فَإِذَا هِيَ تَمُورُ. Are you secure that the one who is in the sky will not make the earth swallow you, and after which it will quake forever? It's possible. Now, the earth is a dhalul, is very tame, is very tractable. What if Allah wishes to give it a quake, that it would quake forever? No one can live on this earth, of course. And it is possible. I mean, the way things are there under the crust of this earth, it's possible that the earth would quake for forever. So, do you feel secure about it? That God would make this earth, first of all, brings an earthquake to swallow you, and then make this earth to quake forever. فَإِذَا آيَةُ. After that big earthquake, and which swallows you, or swallows everything, then it would quake forever. It's not tame anymore, it's not dhalul anymore. Now, this is clear. There was only one very difficult issue in this earth, in this verse, and that is man fi sama, the one who is in the sky. أَأَمِنْتُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ أَنْ يَخْسِفَ بِكُمُ الْأَرْضِ. Now, what is the issue? Well, is it referring to God? Is God in the sky? Well, some people have said, yes, it refers to God, and God is in the sky. Now, Fakhruddin Razi, of course, he, as a theologian, and also as someone who is well-versed in philosophy, he says, well, this is impossible. How is it possible that God is in the sky? Why? He has created the sky. Where was God before the sky was created? And also, the sky is inside the Kursi is inside the Arsh, and then you say, God is in the sky. Of course, that's not possible, that's ridiculous. So what does this mean? أَأَمِنْتُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ, the one who is in the sky, to make the earth to swallow you. This is why some of the exegetes have tended towards the idea that This is not referring to God, it's referring to angels. The angels who are in the heaven, who are actually agents of God, they have their functions. We know that the angels have brought, of course, punishment on this earth. It's mentioned in the Quran, Jibreel and other angels bringing punishment to the people of Lot. So it refers to angels. The ones who are in the sky. And we discussed this. One of the meaning of sky, sama, is the spiritual sama, the malakuti sama, where the angels live. So those who live in the sky to bring you this punishment. The problem with this explanation, which Exodus, like Zamakhshari, who's of course the excellent, by far most excellent exegete of the Quran from any others, he has mentioned this idea. The problem with this is that it says an yakhsifa bikum, not an yakhsifu. So it should be referring to a particular angel. Okay, you may say Jibreel, okay, but why? Why Jibreel is singled out here as someone who is in the sama to bring this punishment? One other meaning, which is probably a good meaning, is, or acceptable meaning, is, as we said before, sama has many different meanings. Sama sometimes is mentioned, it refers to the clouds. Sometimes it's mentioned, it's referred to the atmosphere of the earth. Sometimes it refers to the world of the angels. Now, sama is the way, the upper sort of direction. What is above? Now, what is the highest? What is above everything? What sama is above all other sama, the sama of the angels? Of course, that's God. Manifest sama means the one who's high, the one who's above, to bring you this sort of situation on the earth. So manifest sama may mean Allah, but not sama in the sense of sky. Allah is not, of course, in the sky. Sky, heavens, everything is created by God. So manifest sama, it means the one who is in the highest rank in everything, in whose hand is, of course, the control of everything. We have things like this in other verses of the Quran. For example, وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُعَدُونَ, your rizq and whatever you are being promised in the hereafter, it is in sama. What? And it means it is in the hands of Allah. It comes from above. And the reason for this emphasis of sama is because we think that everything is decided here on the earth by us. And we think that everything is limited and restricted to what is on this earth. Now Allah says, do not forget, this earth has someone who has first of all created it, someone who's managing it, and that is above everything. So he's in sama. Whatever you receive is coming from sama, is coming from that high station and that highly sublime being who is the creator of everything. Then there's another thing, amintum man fis sama. Again, the same thing, man fis sama, the one who's in the sky. أَنْ يُرْسِلَ عَلَيْكُمْ حَاسِبًا فَسَتَعْلَمُونَ كَيْفَ نَذِيرٌ. Are you secure that he who is in the sky, or he who is above, the better meaning is he who is above, will not unleash upon you a storm of stones? Now, the atmosphere of the earth is very nicely, of course, climated for us. The weather, the oxygen, the combination of different gases, the way the atmosphere of the earth is a protection to us. Now, you take all these for granted, but why do you feel secure that it may not go the way you are used to? And the
a storm of stones would come to you, so that soon you will know how my warning has been. There's a bit more discussion in this verse that inshallah we leave it for next week. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi at-tahirin.
لطيف خبير سميع بصير جلي راقب مجيب غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف محمد وآل محمد يا مسلمين صلوا عليه اللهم صل على محمد صلوا عليه يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه. Ya Latifah.